I had an opportunity this week to see my nephew John, my sister, and I saw my mother as well at the same time. And John's an 8-year-old here. He's still quite young, and he's been sick for the last week, so he's not been feeling well, and he had a terrible diarrhea. And I assisted with changing a diaper this week, which I told my sister I retired from after I got ordained, because I had changed enough diapers before that. And I assure you, I've changed hundreds of diapers before I was ordained, so it's not like I decided to quit before I even got into it, but I decided I was done with that. I was assisting my sister. And it struck me, just in the act of changing his diaper, because he had soiled himself. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. He had soiled himself. He's under a year old. He gets to do that. And it had leaked out beyond the diaper, so he had soiled his clothes as well. And if there's one thing that my nephew hates, is changing his diaper. If there's one thing my nephew hates more than changing his diaper, is changing his clothes. And we had to do both. And, you know, we stripped him down, and we had the diaper off, and he started to scream horrendously. Because he was in terrible pain. The rash all around that area, that it just caused him such pain. And of course, there are three of us wrestling with him. Myself, my mother, and my sister were all trying to help him. And all he can do is scream. And in that moment, I'm pretty sure he's convinced that we're trying to ruin his life in the worst possible way. And the only thing we want to do is make him better. In the course of it all, once we got him cleaned up, and we put the cream on, put a clean diaper on him, my sister just took him and held him. I mean, sure, he still had to put his clothes back on, but it had been such a difficult moment in that moment. He just needed to be held. He nursed a little bit, not a lot, mostly just needed that comfort. In those few minutes to calm down and kind of come back to a world of not agonizing, terrifying pain, he soiled the diaper. And the clean one we just put on, he soiled another one. So we kind of had to start the process over again. We got the second clean diaper on, more tears, more pain. And my sister just held him. After a few minutes, things being a little calmer, started to wrestle on some clothes. Just the undershirt first, just the beginning. And then I let him wander around a little bit. Try and re-engage his bearings, try to feel some kind of normal and normal again. There'd be time enough to wrestle more clothes on in a minute. But I come back to this reading. This genuine consideration, and we think that God has forsaken us. We are convinced that God has given up on us. And that question gets asked, can a mother forget her child? Maybe we can think of a terrible example where a mother can't do that. Can a mother forget or be without tenderness for her child? But I think of that moment with my nephew, that agonizing time when all he wanted was the pain to stop. And trust me, none of us wanted the pain to go on either, but the fact of the matter was we were doing the absolute most good for him. What was healthiest for him? What was that made him better? But I don't think he saw it that way. And that's that struggle we have with our relationship with God at times. We might feel abandoned, overlooked, we're struggling, we cry out in agony, we're struggling, we're suffering, we're hurting, we're so terrified of the possibilities. What is it that we're supposed to do? Why is it that we have to go through this? And it's in those moments that God is actually closest to us of all. God is near to us in those moments because he wants to bring us all of the good things in our life. He wants to give us all of those great things, but just because he wants to give us all of those good things, nowhere does it say that we will be without suffering, that we will be without strife or pain, means does it mean that God has given up on us, or given up, or surrendered? None of those things. Could a mother forsake her child? Even then, I will not forget you. When we jump to the gospel, what do we have? Actually, the same consideration expressed in such beautiful ways. What are you worried about with eating and drinking, or what you're supposed to wear? Why are these the things that keep us up? Why are these the things that terrify us? You know, birds eat every day, and they don't even go to the grocery store. Wildflowers are dressed exceptionally well, and they do not watch or read the fashion magazines. What are we worried about? And does our worry have any difference at all? Through our worry, can we add even a single year to our life? That'd be terrifyingly impressive. No, we're supposed to trust in God for these things. Never underestimate that it is God who actually looks after us with each and every one of these things. It is God who continues to give us all of these incredible things. And what does worry do for us? Does it add years to our life? I doubt it. Through your worry, can you make a single hair on your head change colors by staring at it? Can we add to our life? You know, it was a fascinating thing. I was in seminary in 2008 when the recession hit us. And from 2008 to 2009, the rector explained to us, mostly it was a thank you. And he was extending a thank you to the support staff. And there's a great many support staff at a college center. They had agreed, they had accepted it. Because of the recession, they couldn't take a pay increase that year. But, cost of living adjustment. But the way it had been expressed is, he said that they had accepted a pay freeze, which is a fully legitimate sentence, except for students who'd never heard such things before and actually thought that the support staff was not working for free. So after we settled that, a little confusion there, assured people that they were still paying their bills. It became a source of great distress for some of the students. They started to ask, well, what if priests stop getting paid? And I said to them, genuinely, I said, then you are worried about the wrong things. We are supposed to be serving God. We're supposed to be witnesses for exactly what this gospel says. We're not supposed to be worried about what we're going to eat or drink. But that we follow after God. That we genuinely seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Don't get me wrong, invest in your future, have all of those wonderful things, plan for a beautiful future, invest in those things. But don't let the worry consume us so much that it blocks out everything else. We should never underestimate that we have to be pursuing first God's kingdom. That the first concern we have is, am I following after God? Am I pursuing with a pure heart that love that God has for me? Am I pursuing after all the good, righteous things that God wants for me? Then we'll let the other stuff come in. You can ask these questions over and over. What if the president does this, or what if Congress does that, or what if the governor does this, or what if, you know, senators try and do this? I don't know. If I spend my entire life worrying about the what ifs of what corrupt people or non-corrupt people might try and do in my life, I could spend a lot of time worried without ever actually making a single difference in what I'm doing for my own life. These things are going to happen. But we need to be pursuing God's kingdom first. We need to be pursuing the prayer life that we have with God first. We need to be pursuing our relationship to grow in the love that God offers us above everything else. And if we lose sight of that, well, then it really begs the question, what are we doing at all? I'll tell you what, I'm going to deal with you. If you can prove to me that your worry can add years to your life, can extend your ability to do these things, then by all means, I give you permission to worry. But if you can't, or more importantly, if you can't prove it to me, then I think we need to come back to God's kingdom first. And I think it's very important to return to this invitation to God's love. Because as it is just promised, could a mother forget her child? or give up on tenderness. Even then, God will not abandon you. So don't give up on God.